Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't require a lot from any one of us. He would like us to know just one thing. One thing. Sadly, many people don't even know this one thing. In fact, when people hear the clear truth of the gospel, that we are sinners, and that we have offended God, that we need to acknowledge this and to turn from our sin and trust Christ to save us, they come up with many, many things. In fact, they often construct their own religion with rules and methods to follow. But the gospel is just the opposite of working at it. The gospel message is all about what Christ has done for us. In today's broadcast, evangelist Mr. Stephen Vance looks at an individual in the Bible who discovered the one thing that he needed to know before he left this world. And you may be surprised at what it was.
I'd like you to read with me in Mark chapter 6. I want to read a few stories tonight and just trace a little word, a little phrase, and share a few thoughts about it. Let's read this story about Herod and John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist had been preaching. Well, actually, what's happening here in this story is that the Lord Jesus was doing many miracles. And different people had different opinions about that, and one of the people was this man named Herod. Now, he had been listening to the Word of God for quite some time. When he started to see what the Lord was doing, he had a guilty conscience because something had happened a few years before. And, well, let's read about it here. We'll see what he says. He says, verse 14, King Herod heard of Christ, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. See, John the Baptist had been there a little while earlier, and he was preaching. Well, then Herod got rid of John the Baptist. He didn't like John the Baptist. His new wife didn't like John the Baptist. Because Herod got rid of John the Baptist and now the Lord Jesus is doing all these miracles, Herod had this superstition. He thought, well, maybe John the Baptist has come back from the dead and doing all these miracles. He said, others said it is Elias. Others said that it's a prophet or is one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. See, this Herod man had stolen another man's wife. And John had said unto Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. Herodias was angry that John the Baptist would be so in their face and tell them about their sin. And she would have even wanted to kill him, but she could not. For listen to these words. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And then there's the story of how on one day Herodias had Herod kill John the Baptist. As I've said, John the Baptist was the man that announced that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming. He told people to repent of their sins and prepare to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you've been instructed tonight from the Bible, to turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That was John the Baptist's message. And he wasn't afraid. I mean, even when it came to speaking to King Herod, some people, when they had to speak to a king, they'd get all jitterbugs in their stomach and they'd just say whatever they thought the king would want them to hear, but not with John the Baptist. He came out totally clear with Herod and he said, Herod, you've got a problem. You've stolen another man's wife. And that's sin. You need to forsake that sin. And so John preached to Herod and it made a very definite impression upon Herod because we read here in these verses that he knew that John was a righteous and a holy man, just and a holy man, verse 20. John the Baptist had made a definite impression upon Herod. John's preaching and his life. In fact, it says here in verse 20 that Herod enjoyed listening to the preaching. It says he heard him gladly. He would listen to John the Baptist preaching the word of God, and there would be a spirit of conviction come upon him. He'd say, "My, I like listening to this preaching because it's the right thing. It's true. It's real." And you know, I've met people like that. They listen to the gospel and they say, "Yes, that's a good message. Of course, I believe in God and I believe in goodness. And, you know, sort of like I believe in motherhood and apple pie. You know, of course it's good." And they're like Herod. And they say, "This is good stuff to think about God. We need more of this in our country for people to think about God." He enjoyed the preaching. But you see, there was something really wrong with Herod, because there was something that pulled him back from a definite decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him. Oh, he enjoyed the preaching. He heard him gladly. And maybe there's somebody here tonight, as I'm preaching and as you've listened to the preaching, you say, "Yes, that's the right thing." But you're not willing to receive the Lord Jesus for yourself and to stand up and say, "I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I will follow him in my life." That was Herod's problem. Enjoyed the preaching. And notice what it says here in verse 20. This is the phrase, "He heard him and he did many things." Some translations give it, "He was greatly puzzled." He did many things. What does that mean? Well, I suppose it's likely the case that he heard John the Baptist preaching and Herod said, "You know, I need to start being a good person myself. I've done my share of bad things." And so as a king, he probably would have said, "You know, there's some things in my kingdom that I need to rectify." And maybe he would have solved some ills over in a certain corner of his kingdom. And he'd feel good about himself. "Oh, I've done something, my good deed for the day." Or maybe there were some poor people down on the other side, and he'd send off a little bit of money with some of his servants to help them out. He did many things. Lots of good things he did when he heard John the Baptist preach. You know, I've met people like that, and they hear the gospel message and they say, "You know, I've really got to clean up my act. I got some sins, you know, that I just, got to start working on that, getting rid of those bad habits that I got. I got to kick those bad habits." And other people say, "Well, I know, I'm on the way. I'm working." You ask them, "Are you saved?" They say, "Well, I'm working at it. I'm trying to do better." That was the kind of man that Herod was. He'd hear the message and he said, "I have to do many things." See, the problem with Herod was that he wouldn't do the one thing that God required. And that was to bow his heart in full surrender to the Lord. Have you ever done that? To come to the Lord as a guilty sinner with no excuses. God doesn't ask you before you come to him to mend your life and to pull it all together. The Bible says it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And people like Herod, they go away from the gospel and they pat themselves on the back saying, "I'm doing many things for God. I'm cleaning up my act." And God is really disturbed about that kind of thinking. He says, "You don't get it. I want you just to admit that you're a sinner and to receive my grace, to receive that the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross was punished for your sins. He died because of my sins and yours." You know what that makes you and me? Makes us murderers. If the Lord Jesus had to go to the cross for my sins, it was my sins that killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And if my sins killed the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes me a murderer. Well, I know we're all very polite and sophisticated here tonight, but, you know, let's just probe a little bit in. You're looking at a murderer tonight. "By my sins, I murdered the Son of God." That's how horrible, how evil our sins are. And that's why God calls us to come in true repentance before him with no defense and no excuse, not like Herod, to do many things. There's mercy for you tonight. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not works and does many things, but whosoever believeth in him
should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't be like Herod tonight. He did many things, but not the one most important thing. I don't know what the reason was. Maybe he loved the pleasures of sin. Maybe he was fearful of losing this Herodias lady. Maybe he was afraid of what the other people would think. For some reason, he was unwilling to do the one thing. Now, how about you? Don't do many things. Do the one thing that God requires. Come low before him as a sinner and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one thing that is necessary. Herod wouldn't do it, and he regretted it. He hears about Christ, and he's struck by a guilty conscience. John, that I beheaded. He's come back. For all of his life, he regretted not doing the one thing. Take a look at John. John chapter 9. We've looked at a man who did many things instead of the one thing that was required. Let's take a look at another man. He did the one thing. John chapter 9. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Let's just pause for a moment here. You know, the disciples, it was rather an insensitive thing to say, there's the blind man right by the side of the road there. And they're sort of discussing him in some philosophical, well, who did sin? Was it him or his parents? Human heart can be so callous, so unsympathetic, instead of giving the man a hand. But you know, they were posing a question that people have asked for a long time. They've said, well, if God is really real, why is there so much bad stuff in the world? The Lord Jesus gives the answer. He says, you know, it's not because of something in the past. That's not why this bad thing is here. He says it's because of something in the future. I'm going to do something. My glory is going to be seen through this man. And you know, God has a way of using bad things, difficult things, for good and his glory. The greatest answer to that question, why is there so much suffering in the world, is not so much an answer as just a look. See, our God is not a God who has stayed immune from suffering. He's a God who entered our world and suffered here with us and for us. And there on that cross, God took the most horrible thing, the death, the painful death, his son, and he transformed it into something good. Here in this story, this blind man is going to experience that. And take a look what the Lord Jesus Christ does. In verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Here's a man. A blind man. And you know, he's a little picture of us all. Because the Bible says, if you're not saved by the Lord, your eyes have been blinded. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has given Satan the power in your life to blind your minds. The sin of your unbelief. You haven't realized how horrible your sin of unbelief is. But on this day, this man met up with the Creator. And he took dust. And he made clay. He put it on the man's eyes and told him to wash, and he was made to see. When I read this story, I can't help but think back that the Lord Jesus was the same Creator who back at the beginning had taken dust and had formed dust into a man's body and had breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, it's an amazing thing to be a human being. Do you know that? The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that the materials that make up your body are not worth much? A while ago, there was a calculation made that all the chemicals in your body, just a couple of dollars, if you went to buy them at a chemical factory, I mean, you're not worth much in your body. And God took those chemicals, that dust, and he wove it together in an amazing fabric. Even the human body is an amazing thing.
right down to ourselves, so small and yet so carefully designed. I know skeptics will say, oh, it just all came by evolution. But you know, it's a bit more complicated than that. Because you know, our cells reproduce, they make each other back, right? And the way that cells reproduce is quite a thing. Cells are made up by proteins right at the bottom level of stuff. So to make a cell, you have to make proteins. But you know how you make proteins? I'm simplifying this for those of you that are younger. But you know how you make proteins? Well, there's mechanisms inside your cells that are actually proteins themselves. And so simplified right down to it, proteins make proteins. And so it's that old chicken and the egg problem. If proteins make proteins, where did the first protein come from? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are designed. And here I see now this man that has been marred. He's blinded, just like we have been blinded and marred by sin. He is meeting up with the Creator again. And he's going to find that the one who created him is able to recreate. And the good news of the gospel is that your heart that has been deadened by sin and you have no life towards God, the God who made you fearfully and wonderfully, he can create a new life, an eternal life. He can plant the life of God within your heart so that you can know the Lord Jesus. You can love him and have a relationship with him. And this man, this blind man, he was made to see. But I want you to see something here. Because of course, after he was made to see, the neighbors questioned about him, is it really him? And the Pharisees said, oh, this is quite a thing. Jesus has done this on the Sabbath day. And they called the parents and they called the man. But I want you to see what the man said. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner, Jesus. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto him, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped. Herod tried to do many things. This blind man, a little picture of each and every one of us blinded by sin. He said, one thing I know. I used to be blind. Now I can see. You know, a believer doesn't perhaps know much, but they know the one thing that is most important. I remember the night as a 13-year-old boy in the city of Toronto. I wanted to be saved. I was too shy to tell anybody that. I got down on my knees in my bedroom, March 28th, Sunday night gospel meeting afterwards. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to be saved, and I don't know how. And the Lord, in that moment, I don't know how many minutes I was there until the Lord opened my heart. And I saw it, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. I didn't know anything else. But in that moment, I knew Christ. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. You know, a lot of people, they say, are you saved? They say, I'm working on it. Salvation isn't something you need to work on. It's not a process. It's just simply to receive the Lord Jesus. Would you receive him now? One thing I know, I was blind. But now, I see. Do you know that one thing? It's wonderful how that one thing opens up a whole life in Christ. Because you see, this man became a disciple, a follower, a learner of the Lord Jesus. In verse 27, he wanted to be a disciple. And you see, people that receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they become followers of Christ. Salvation is just the beginning of a life of walking with the Lord Jesus. He's with us every day. And not only that, he wants to grow in his faith. Verses 30 and verse 36, he wants to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, he bows down and he worships him. Because that's what happens when people fall in love with the Lord Jesus. Knowing him deeper and deeper and worshiping him day by day. It's a wonderful relationship. Do you have that one thing? I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. If you don't, what's keeping you? What's keeping you? Why won't you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? There's something. The Lord Jesus told a story about a rich man that came to Christ, and he wanted to inherit eternal life. He was right on that. You can't get eternal life by trying and working. You have to inherit it. Jesus Christ has died on the cross so that we can inherit eternal life. And the Lord Jesus said to this man, he said, you know the commandments, and he listed a bunch. And the man said, I've kept them all. And the Lord Jesus said to him, one thing you are lacking. One thing you are lacking. Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. See, in every person's heart that refuses to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one thing lacking. I don't know what it is for you. Something standing between you and Christ. But I urge you tonight to put it aside. See, his problem was he wanted something more than Christ. Most people that don't come to Christ do it because there's something they want more than Jesus. I know there's a lot of smoke screens. People have their intellectual reasons for not following Christ. But in my little experience, I've noticed that usually it's just a smokescreen. Underneath, they don't want to bow before the King of the universe and say, you are my God, and I am a sinner. And that's what that man's problem was.
One thing he lacked. One thing was missing. Turn away from whatever it is that's keeping you from Christ
and follow the example of this blind man and say, one thing I know. I used to be blind, but now I see. I see the Lord Jesus, my Savior, who loved me and gave himself for me.
So how about it? What one thing do you know? Do you know that once you were blind and now you can see? Do you know that once you were lost and now you are found? This is the one thing that God wants you to know. He wants you to stop your doing and trust him. He wants you to know that Christ died for sins. John the Apostle said that he wrote his gospel so that his readers would know that they have eternal life. Do you know that one thing? Do you know that you have eternal life? If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com? We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday, as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.